Welcome back to another episode of the Parenting Pathway Podcast. This is Pastor Dave Carl. I am the children's pastor and the family pastor here at Stonebriar Community Church. And I am here at the table with Nathan Kosurek, who is our high school pastor, but also oversees our student ministries, which means both junior high and high school. So thanks for being here on time, because the other guy we invited has gone AWOL, so...
Yeah, I don't know where Brandon is.
Ooh, you said
his... We need to call him out.
You said his name. Okay, well, I'm not going to mention Brandon Fletcher.
No.
Blowing us off for this session, so...
Evidently, there was a free lunch.
A better lunch. He got a better lunch, a better offer. Well, we will have to stumble forward without him. Today, I would like for us to be talking about the concept of ready to launch. We've talked in the past, you, I, and the guy who's not here, about manhood, about prepping boys, but there is a singular transitional time in the life. And the ladies that I work for are always coming after me because I talk so specifically about men and boys, but this is true perhaps in a different way. Perhaps I'm naive and it's very much the same, but... The period, the transition of I'm going from high school into the world. That could mean college. That could mean just starting my career, my work life. But it's the leaving the safety of home and being cared for as a child to how to and in our culture, it's launching. How does one launch? Well, what are the pitfalls? What could cause us to not launch well? So that is our topic for today. So let's just get really personal and interesting, and please make it interesting for us.
I'll do my best.
So what life skill did you lack when you went into college and or going into real life?
That's a good question. I think besides relating to women in a positive way, I think maybe healthy coping with adversity.
Like you did not have that.
Right.
So these are things you were lacking.
So I coped, but in unhealthy ways. Yeah. So whether it was various forms of entertainment or indulging in pornography, I think at that stage the difficulty was finding perhaps reliable role models and a circle of godly friends that could help point in the right direction toward standing on my own feet in a responsible way. I definitely wanted to stand on my own feet. I was motivated in that sense, and I know not every young man is. Maybe we can get more into the personality aspect of it. But for me, my personality, I wanted to build an empire. It just didn't always go according to plan. And in those moments, I didn't always handle it well.
Right. This, and we're culturally in a place where we've not been at before, that makes it sometimes nuances take over larger categories. Back in 150, 200 years ago, you knew your job was to be able to grow enough food for your family.
Yeah, that's right.
You just know that. It's not fun. It's not easy. You make the best of it, but you grew up knowing that's what men are for.
And there weren't a lot of options or choices.
Right. You may not like farming.
But that's what you
were
going to do.
Stay alive. Right. Or you get all crazy and go hunt.
Right.
You could do that too. But we were unconfused. They were unconfused because it was a matter of survival.
Right.
It's not survival anymore.
Yeah.
The nuances of I need to be fulfilled are overpowering basic survival skills. And
I think that's what drives a lot of the anxiety. You know, this unprecedented age of prosperity and relative peace has made everyone wonder if they have made the right choice, if they are making the right choice, if they couldn't be happier doing something else. And then I think it often leads to making no choice. So there's a delayed entry into adulthood. There's certainly a lot of young men who just don't have a sense of purpose.
Right.
So to your point, that purpose was given to you
right.
by virtue of the culture they were in.
So the lack of purpose, and I think we have brought this up before, but it's so important. I think it's worth revisiting. My theory is if a young man doesn't have a purpose, there's almost a gravitational pull for his purpose to become comfort and self-gratification.
Yeah, of course. You know, why not? It seems like if living is easy, then that's what you're going to do.
And if I could figure out how to get rich fast so that I don't have to do anything, that would be the smart guy.
Yeah, easy street. That's right.
But we love to read books and watch movies about the rich guy who's aimless and self-destructive and eventually wakes up and takes care of orphans or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that resonates with us because that's what we were built for.
Yeah.
To take care of other people. So the and I'm thinking right now of parents. It's a parenting pathway podcast, but if I was a young man, I want us to talk to him too. And again, perhaps a young woman is experiencing much the same thing. But my experience is mostly with the young men. If you can kind of do a CSI thing into your own soul, if the camera can go in your whatever through your heart and what's in there, and you recognize that your purpose is comfort and to have fun, you are in deep, deep danger.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause there is anything that will overpower you and fool you and deceive you into what's fun is the thing I'm going to pursue.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's right. You will then one day recognize that I have no spot on this planet. I'm
right. It's not what we're made for. It's not how we're designed in the image of God.
You touched on it a little bit kind of accidentally, but I'd like you to kind of think more specifically and talk about as the high school pastor, you see these kids going up and over that finish line of high school. What are they feeling about going into the world?
Well, they're afraid. I don't think that that's unusual. I think that's probably been true for all of us at that stage. You know, we wonder if we have what it takes.
Right.
And so I think a lot about kids, you know, young adults who are confident. Some are overconfident.
Mm-hmm.
And then many are just afraid. And so then I think about backing it up from there. And I go, okay, what is it that allows a young person to reach that stage in their development and feel a sense of confidence in who they are and what their purpose is? You know, that is the million-dollar question.
So we now have to talk about what is required for a kid to be, to feel like I've got what it takes.
Yeah.
And I can survive. I can participate.
Yeah.
I guess, in short, not fail would be.
Right.
Because we all want to be, you know, something amazing, but mostly I don't want to fail.
Sure.
And we have a special. Oh, no, that's not the right Brandon.
That is a Brandon.
I thought the other Brandon wandered in. We'll have to edit this little bit out.
Oh, good.
So the fear of failure. Why? They've been well-educated.
Yeah.
Around here, they've been provided for. They're not afraid of all kinds of things that, frankly, they should be afraid of.
Yeah.
They're afraid of, can you define more tightly?
Yeah, the fear of failure and where that comes from and what that's about. I wonder if it's connected somehow to that that insecure sense of self, you know, that I am defined by my achievements or lack thereof. And so if you grow up in a town where you see people who are successful, which that's a good thing, mm-hmm. you know, you see successful people around you, that's probably a good thing. But then you sort of ingest this pressure that somehow you have to measure up to that. If your parents are achievement-driven types of folks, then there can be a unintentional pressure simply by virtue of what they have achieved. And so one of the big fears of failure is driven by a fear of disappointing mom and dad.
Well, that's uncomfortable to hear. Because we
sorry, Dave.
we want our kids to do well.
That's right. We don't want them to fail.
We actually, and I'm more familiar with this area, and I grew up in Southern California, and I would say that that place is not much different. But we want our kids, frankly, to be superior in some way.
Yeah.
Because that would be fantastic.
It makes us feel pretty good.
And it's good. It's good parenting too, if they're. I've thought about this as a concept that as parents, I have seen kind of a frenzied search for the thing about my kid that mm-hmm. will make him superior.
Yeah.
And then we have to pour everything into that.
Yeah.
And the unquestioned premise
legitimacy,
is
yeah.
if he can be a superior athlete, or if he can kick a ball further, or he, you know, if he can do this one thing better than anybody else,
yeah.
his life is going to be great.
Well, it's more complicated than that from what I've observed watching the relationship between parents and their teenagers as they're growing up. And these are well-meaning, good Christian parents. These are, by all accounts, good Christian kids who basically, by virtue of where they're growing up, have to excel in order to have a friendship group. And
or
so this
to be
is
normal.
Yeah,
they have to excel
to be normal.
To be normal.
Yeah. And those two ideas are connected, right? So if you are not good enough to be in a sports team,
right,
or one of the fine arts, then your identity gets lost. You don't have a natural friendship group. And so what we see in our local high schools and junior highs are a lot of kids who are just sort of aimlessly floating around looking for a friendship group that they can connect to. And you see it in the lunchroom, you know? No kid wants to be marginalized at the lunch table. You know, they want to have an affinity group. But again, that's no different than it's always been. The difference is, in order to have that affinity group, you have to be really good in order to make that team or be in that fine art group. And so then parents, in their compassion, it's not always just driven by a sense of pride or something. It's like, no, we want our child to have access to a group of healthy, achievement-oriented, good kids.
Good kids, right.
Right.
I've thought it was in terms of the hack. If I can go around the system and do one thing in a hyper-focused way, I can get my kid to kind of cheat the system.
Yeah.
Kind of hack the system. If he can play football really well,
yeah,
then everything else will take care of itself.
Or dance or
anything.
Whatever.
Anything. Academics. If they get into an Ivy League school, everything is going
to
be good.
You have to be a specialist. Right.
And yet, the things that are required for a healthy human...
That you're good at a lot of different things.
You're omnivore, yeah.
Yeah.
You've got to be able to have healthy interpersonal communication, which is only done through laborious practice.
That's
and
right.
Trial and error over years. And you need to be kind and other focused.
Sure.
I mean, the things to be healthy are shockingly boring.
Yeah, just the basics.
And if all of my energies on my kid are so that he can be a superior something, he doesn't have time for that.
Yeah.
In fact, he doesn't even have to do that because kids will admire the specialist.
That's exactly right. And these kids feel it in sixth grade, in fifth grade, you know, they start seeing their peers who are winning a national this or some prestigious award. They're getting all kinds of attention for whatever it is that they've been, you know, working on since they could walk.
Right.
And then they're kind of wondering, oh, what's my thing? Well, how do you know in sixth grade what your thing is? And why should we have to have a thing?
What if I don't have a thing?
That we're the most world-class, you know, swimmer of all time or something.
I would suggest, I'm not a psychiatrist or I haven't done longitudinal studies on this, but I would suggest that a kid who has grown up learning to be kind, other-focused, hardworking, you know, there's probably three or four other very boring things. He has, and I've heard this term recently, we want our kids to be resilient and resourceful.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm a specialist, and what I do is I don't mean to pick on a particular thing, but if I'm a kicker, if I'm a...
A great field goal I'm kicker.
That's my thing. And you can save the game. I mean, you know, that's a... But if all I have is a crazy right leg and I blow my knee, either knee.
Yeah, right. I've seen that story play out.
I'm cooked.
Yeah.
I feel like a failure because I'm not the hero, so there's no middle ground.
Yeah.
Now I'm a failure. I don't know what else I could possibly do because I'm not five. I can't start over.
No.
I'm just normal, which means... equates to failure.
Yeah, you're going to wander in the desert with all the other normal people.
So I'm neither resilient nor resourceful if I'm a specialist. If we try to hack the system and bypass all of the hard, boring work. But to be resilient is I blew a knee, so... I'm going to go do something else.
That's right.
Because that's not who I am.
Being resilient means you get up.
That was a thing I can do, but yeah. I think I can do other stuff. Let's just figure out what those things. And it's not a crisis point. It's a transition.
Yeah. And we love those stories.
Like when you hear these movies about this.
Sure. The guy that designed the Mars rover, he was awful in high school. Hmm. Didn't go to college.
I still have a shot then, is what you're saying.
I wouldn't go that far,
okay,
Dave.
No, right.
But yeah, he got interested, I think, through some kind of sci-fi book or something, and then took a class at the junior college, had a really great professor who encouraged him and said, hey, you're actually pretty good at this stuff. Well, he had never been motivated before.
Right.
He just hadn't discovered something that lit his fire. And I wonder if what you're saying, if someone is sort of handed a script from the time they're 8 or 9 or 10 years old, and it says, you're going to make the national volleyball team.
Right.
And then that doesn't work out. Well, guess what? There's still resilience. You might design the Mars rover.
Or just work on the line.
Or just work on manage, you don't have to
manage the team,
invent
yeah.
the Mars rover.
Like it's the ugly duckling.
Right.
It's like, yeah, but boy, he becomes yeah. beautiful at the end.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a bad story.
It kind of is.
We feel bad for the ugly duckling, but alas, he becomes this beautiful.
Because all you have to be is you, yeah. right? That's all you have to be.
And I can't get past the resilience and resourcefulness. So the resourcefulness would be, I'm not a specialist. I'm MacGyver. I've got a pocket knife. I can dig my way out with it. I can cut the cable. You know, and then whatever situation I find myself in, there's a shot that I have some confidence that I can do something here.
Yeah.
I don't just sit down exasperated.
Yeah.
Because this isn't going my way. And usually I have people come do this for me. If you're resilient and resourceful, like, I'm not down, and I'm going to figure out a way to get out or up. Or so if that was the goal, if those things, those kinds of things were the goal, and there's more, I mean, like kind and godly, and there's more than just resilience and resourcefulness. But if I wanted those things in my kid, what would we do?
I think we let them try things and fail. You know, and then we talk through that. You know, we have to redefine failure. I think we have to really examine our own assumptions about what leads to a satisfying and fulfilling life. And when we start defining those things for our kids in a way that isn't true, it basically torpedoes them. By accident.
My folks were very pleased for me to go into ministry. I had a next door neighbor that was aghast.
That you went into ministry?
Yes. Like, I'm getting married and I'm going into ministry. I'm 24.
Was it not presumptuous for them to even express that?
It depends on who your neighbor
okay.
is.
Okay.
Yeah. No, how are you going to earn a living?
Oh.
Well...
So this is a well-meaning neighbor. This wasn't a nosy neighbor.
I don't know. I'm not going to give her way out. But
okay.
She was shaming me that I was not figuring out a way to make the most money because that's, in her mind, that's what like men are for.
Yeah, that's obviously how you measure a successful life.
And I, you know, if that had come from my parents, that would have been a very different, you know, this was like the crazy... You know,
what do you think that would have done to you if that had come from your parents?
It could easily have derailed me, or I would have done it out of rebellion. Neither of,
yeah, right.
Neither of
I'll show you guys.
Is a good scenario.
I'll be an awesome pastor.
Yes, I'm going to be an angry pastor.
I'm going to save thousands.
And so, but sure enough, you know, this is actually a great way to not make a lot of money. I have not been at all burdened.
What do you mean?
With the problems of what to do with my excess wealth.
Uh-huh.
But if that's the only metric for doing well, you could be tanking your kid.
Yeah, and there's any number of ways to misidentify success in life, right?
Sure. And so if I'm a kid and I was trained to be the best high school football guy, I'm going now into a whole different pool.
That's right.
Or even if I was in the top 10 of my high school, I'm like solidly in like the 53 percentile.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going into anonymity.
That's right. And anonymity is such a false fear.
Right.
Right? Obscurity, some would say, is what Jesus thrived on. He went to these people in out-of-the-way places and spent time with them.
Right. Not building an empire.
No.
Which was very confusing to the poor disciples.
Yeah, they're like, what are we doing?
That's interesting.
You know what else is interesting? As you were talking about the sports star who, you know, fades off into anonymity. I was reminded of this the other day. I was reminded of the Letterman jacket that hangs in my closet. And there's a patch on the sleeve.
Right.
That says All District 1991. And I remember how proud I was to have that patch sewn on my letter jacket. But do you know what would have happened if I had even worn that jacket one time on the college campus?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean...
Yeah, yeah.
But at the time, it just seems like this is it. I have arrived.
Right.
And I wonder how often we fall into that same trap with so many other things, and then we project that onto our kids.
We've talked around here often about life skills. So as we would have, and you've got kids that are moving into this, toward this stage, as do I, some of the life skills that we would like, that we would recommend, let's put it that way. It's not like we're wishing, because that might happen or not, but the kinds of things that I want to take the time to try to instill or offer or display so that a kid does not come to this transition period and collapse under the weight of it.
Right.
Because it's supposed to be a transition. I get to go out into the world.
They should be excited about
I've been trained.
I'm ready.
I want to be the best auto repair guy. I can't get on my hands on the right tools, but if I can get that.
Some of them are like that.
There should be anxiety. Because I can't get there soon enough.
Uh-huh.
That would be ideal.
Right.
As opposed to I can't apply for anything that I want because I don't know that I'm going to get it.
Mm-hmm. And I All have that spoken, fear of failure. Yeah.
I have spoken to young men who have been on the job for 18 months and they're extremely frustrated because management won't listen to them.
Yeah.
So I got like three things. We would like the kid to be anxious to take on the world because he feels prepared. There's the kid who's so afraid of failing that he won't even try. And then there's the kid who believes he just has to introduce himself to the world and the world will embrace him and lift him to the appropriate heights.
Mm-hmm.
And both of those latter two examples are disastrous.
Right.
The third one will get a job, but he will be miserable and confused and will go home every day saying, I just don't love what I do. And it's my birthright.
Right. Well, I don't think it's as hard as it may seem at first. In a lot of ways, I think we build confidence and a sense of good anticipation for independence, just in the course of living. For example, the other day, our battery, our car wouldn't start. The battery was was dead. I think maybe an interior light had been left on.
By somebody.
But it was someone. Yeah. And so there it was in the garage. And you know, I went out there to get the jumper cables and I popped the hood. And then it occurred to me, I should have my kids here watching this, you know? So I think one of them was at home at the time or available or whatever. And so, yeah, my son came into the garage and, I handed him the jumper cables and I said, let's do this. Mm-hmm. You know, we just need to jump this car battery. And then I poured a little sugar on top and I said, when you're in college and a young woman can't get her car to start, you can really impress her if you know how to do this. So now I really had his attention.
So now he's thinking of he's wearing a cape.
Exactly. And I think maybe that's really where the fun in parenting comes in, is we, in the course of life, get to show our sons in particular how to wear the cape, how to go on the roof and fix the antenna because the windstorm blew it down, mm-hmm. and now your little sister can't watch her mm-hmm. favorite show. You know, these kind of things, I think, are not rocket science. It's just a matter of inviting them in to do those small, hard things that over time build confidence. And not doing things for them. I can't tell you how many times I've wanted to go and pick up some part-time job applications for him because right. he's...
Fill it out.
Yeah. Right?
Hey, buddy, if you just sign here...
It would really encourage him if he had a part-time job. I know it would teach him a lot of things. I want him to do that. But on the other hand, I can't want it for him or more than he does. It would short-circuit the whole point of him doing it.
And as to that, I want to go out and begin life. A good deal of that is because then I will be able to perhaps get things and do things that I can't right now.
That's right.
But if they've been given everything and they can do everything.
Oh, I see where you're going. Right.
There's no good thing about that.
It's always better right here at home.
But if... And I, you know, again, the area here in Frisco, North Texas that we live in, parents are getting their 16-year-old kids a brand new expensive car when they get their license.
Yep.
Before. I know a kid who got a car like 5 months, and it was way too nice of a car.
Sure. Yeah. And sometimes it's a rich uncle or a grandparent. And the parents
are
in a position where they have to say, please no.
Yeah,
and then that makes them really the bad guy.
I'm going to drive up to Dairy Queen and put on my hat and apron and work.
Yeah, that's unpleasant.
As opposed to, you know, the kid who I had to save the $400 to buy my first really crummy car. And my dad and I worked on it together. We have a family... old, like probably from the 40s, a family picture. And it looks like it was staged. It's so perfect. And it's guys in the 40s, kind of blousy slacks, and it's black and white, so I don't know what color, but light colored shirts and sleeves are rolled up and like pencil drawn mustaches. And there's like six guys and they're all kind of leaning in underneath the hood of a car.
Yeah.
Because... this is what men do.
Right.
This is where men hang out.
Yeah.
And I can just hear them saying, well, you know what you should have done. And they're, you know, they're making fun of each other. They're laughing. They're trying stuff. And that's not going to work. Yeah, that's not going to. And they're congregating around the very act of being resourceful.
Yeah. It's a part of feeling really good about yourself. You know, you can get stuff done.
And this is a completely derogatory term, but I feel like we have parents who, out of their love for their children, are raising their children like veal.
Veal? What is that, some kind of meat?
They're in a box. they can't run, they can't get hurt, they can't. And we do this with veal so that it's soft and chewable.
I'm not super into veal, I guess.
It's not a very, it's less popular than it used to be. So this is not going to be a cow that runs around, and...
I think the hard part, Dave, is where you draw that line, because I would guess most parents already know it's not good to do everything for their kid. But yeah, if you can help them, you know, get into a safe, reliable vehicle that they can then take off to college, just continuing with this, example, then have you necessarily, stifled your child's development? I think there's got to be a way to look at these things and say, okay, here's where the line is. They have to have some buy-in, investment, sweat, equity in the game, or else if it's just too easy, then that does short-circuit the process.
And again, that how does one instill a desire? And you talked about some young men, they're not even tempted to go out into the world. They're right. Not even bothered by the fact that they're not going to.
Yeah, because they have everything they need right there.
And that's a huge failure in this terminology to launch.
Yeah,
is when a kid doesn't even want to. Because he doesn't want to, not because he's even afraid of failure. Why would I even bother?
Yeah.
And he's not resourceful. He's not resilient. And to get our kids to earn things, to work for things, to fail, because you're only resourceful when there's been a failure.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got to figure it out, and so that hyper protective out of love. Nobody's doing it nefariously. I think I'm going to ruin my kid by not letting them ever have a bad day.
Mm-hmm.
It's always out of love, but and I don't know. I'm not one of the best things. The best parenting tools I ever had was we were poor.
Yeah, so you knew it was no joke.
I can't get you a tutor for this.
That's the reality.
I can't. We can't travel for an exhibition out of the question. And if I could have and I just said no, that's a different kind of conversation.
Yeah.
Mine was easy. Like, it's out of the question. And he knew it. My kids knew it. So there was like, I know. And we moved on.
Yeah.
So I would propose if you just all financially struggled, this would be much easier.
Yeah. Can we all just give all our money to the church?
But it requires artistry. When is too far? When is too little?
Right.
And I can't have a conversation about anything like this without getting to the point of saying that's why you can't do this alone.
Yeah, that's right.
And just because your parents did it for you, that doesn't mean anything. That doesn't make it right or wrong. And I haven't heard it for years, but I used to hear, I just want my kids to have better than I did.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's not even a target. That doesn't mean anything. That could mean.
Yeah, it's so helpful
anything
to have.
Or everything.
Other parents around you that you can speak to, ones especially who have maybe been there and done that.
And older kids, perhaps.
Yeah, and learned a thing or two that maybe they wish they would have done differently. You know, I think that's what church is essentially. It's this family, this extended, larger family circle where we would be very foolish not to take advantage of the grandmas and grandpas and surrogate moms and dads that we have access to. And, I was thinking about this idea of motivating the unmotivated young man, especially. you know, when it comes to motivation, obviously there's a spiritual component to that. Mm-hmm. And I also think that there's a healthy habit of dreaming with our kids as they're growing into adulthood.
I like that.
Yeah. And just playfully dreaming, you know, thinking about the types of movies that they like and the stories that they like and the interests that they have, and those rides together as you're teaching them how to drive in parallel park. You know, it's like you can have these conversations where you just go, what if you could write the script? What would that look like if you knew you couldn't fail? I love that question. Mm-hmm. And so then you kind of tuck that away and then try to, I guess, come alongside them and say, you know what, how exciting would it be if you could apply for that scholarship that would get you into this place? And how exciting would it be if even if you had to, you know, just grind it out through a couple of years of junior college and then transfer to that school, you know, but then letting them know, hey, I'm not going to be able to do it for you. I'm not always going to be right there with you, but I'm here to support you as much as I can, you know? So yeah, maybe that's a part of that confidence that we can lend to them, that they know it isn't entirely up to them. It is up to them. They have to want it, but they're not alone.
And perchance that we have a young man listening to this recording, and you feel purposeless and aimless and unfit really to go into the world, that's not a natural state. You're not supposed to live like that. And our culture is not going to help you. Film, I mean, I think that's why the superhero genre is just through the roof. Because they all have a purpose, even if they're the bad guy.
Yeah, they know what their power is.
We got to fight to save the world.
Right.
We've got to whatever. And there's a longing for that kind of clarity. And other than Superman, who is like not a very good superhero, because kryptonite, I mean, that's...
Yeah.
Many of the others have genuine weaknesses.
Yeah.
They really can die.
Yeah.
In this episode, if it goes badly. And the lesson of that superhero is not that you can't lose. It's that you've been given something.
Yeah.
Go do it. Go use it.
It's very similar to what I see in this generation of an admiration for skilled craftsmanship of all kinds. And I haven't known very many skilled craftsmen who were unhappy. Like they know they have this ability.
That's interesting.
Yeah, this gift. And probably they have had a natural, you know, inclination toward that particular thing for a long time. And it gives them a great amount of joy and satisfaction to know that they are among those who do that thing well, and it benefits and blesses others. So, you know, often I think that through in my mind, how could I help my kids discover some unique skill or interest that they possess without making it like that specialist thing we were talking about before.
You don't have to be the superhero of woodworking.
Right.
You can just
enjoy it.
Build an occasional stool.
Yeah, right. And continue all your life to get better and better at it for the greater purpose of blessing others, right?
And that indicates an other focused, which I think is part of the toxicity of I'm not going to go out. I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to risk. It's you're completely self-focused.
Yeah.
And many movies have started with a kid like that, and then the enemy's parachuting, you know, into the field behind them.
Mm-hmm.
And now they both get to have a purpose, and they recognize it.
Yeah.
and it's that transformation is exciting, and I mean the stuff of good storytelling.
Oh, and all the recent dystopian teen fantasy right. movies and books are about that. Like, okay, guys, it's all up to us.
I've figured out what I'm for.
Yeah.
Or what's bad, and we've got to
fight against it.
Do something. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So if you feel this emptiness, this that's an unnatural condition. You're never going to figure your way out of this by yourself, because that's part of the, it's probably how you got there. In fact, I read a quote from, I'd never heard before, from Einstein. The force that got you into this problem is not the force that will get you out.
Hmm.
It was, the wording might be, but I thought that was so interesting.
Yeah.
So I've thought my way into isolation. I'm going to solve this by myself. You know,
is it like the Texas phrase, if you find yourself in a hole, put down the shovel?
Perhaps.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm following you.
Isolation is, I think, one of Satan's favorite tools. And especially when you feel lost, isolation guarantees that you remain lost.
Mm-hmm. Trapped.
And yet reaching out, finding a community, going to a church, and like a hound dog, I'm going to find...
I got to find my people.
I'm going to find some men
yeah.
who have figured some of this out, and I'm going to track... I'm going to bother them until... I'm going to buy them a cheap breakfast once a week.
Yeah.
Until I feel like I have some resilience...
That's right.
Some resourcefulness and purpose. And of course, spiritually, it's easy. Our purpose is to love God with everything we've got and to love others as ourselves. That's for every believer at any time on the planet. But the second one below that is much more difficult.
Hmm.
With the gifts I've been given, in the time I've been given to live in, with the people around me, how am I uniquely supposed to do the first thing?
Yeah.
And you can't figure that out by yourself.
And to bring it back around full circle, you know, in my freshman year of college, I stepped into a Christian community, this Christian student organization, where for the first time, I saw these great Christian men that I admired, these junior and seniors in college, you know, who seemed to really have their stuff together. They seemed to be walking with purpose. They understood their identity, and they had really attractive girlfriends. And so I said,
proof of
this is
choices.
Where I need to be. I need to be friends with those guys.
I think to find your tribe is one of the greatest blessings a young man can have. Being in the wrong tribe is one of the most disastrous.
Yeah, that's right. It has the reverse effect.
But being alone is a terrible strategy.
Yeah, because you're just stuck.
So that's the task. For the parents, resilience, resourcefulness, love for God. I mean, these are things that might alter how I make choices.
Yeah, that's right.
And
we have to fight our own fear as parents. I see that as maybe the way the enemy really defeats us the most, is he plays on that natural fear mm-hmm. that we have as parents, that something terrible or awful is going to happen to our kids now or in the future, you know?
Right. So for the parents, we want these kids to feel like they belong in the world. And you can only do that through trial and error, through experimentation, by giving them room to try stuff. I mean, I have on occasion seen my kids try something that I this is, I'm not going to buy the expensive instrument because I just don't think it's going to last.
Yeah, that's so just wise parenting.
Let's just get the school rental one, and let's, you know, we'll move up from there if we.
Sure, but, we'll see.
And I've saved a lot of money that way.
Yeah, good advice.
But they get to a shot at it. I do want them to explore and realize that they get to explore. They don't have to succeed. They get to just play. And I do think play is very important, and not video games, but try stuff, build stuff, break stuff, burn stuff. That's, I just want to be a part of that one.
Dave just said burn stuff.
Yeah, I like that. That would be fun. Isolation is its own prison, and to find a tribe, I guess the summary of our today, if you are a young man, a young woman, and you are feeling without purpose, find the right tribe of believers. And that I think the Holy Spirit will work through that channel to help you find your way, and in order to be ready to launch and to affect the people around you, perhaps your culture, if given the opportunity. There are works that have been planned from the dawn of time for us to take on in the name of God, and we were built to do that. So we want to participate in any way we can, and there's a church near you where these men reside as well. You just have to find them. Thank you for being with us again. Thank you, Nathan, for joining me. Thank you, Brandon, for not being here.
Yeah, way to go, Brandon.
And this has been another episode of the Parenting Pathway Podcast. And remember, don't do life, don't do parenting.